I know. community. Lord, we gather to your house.
Amen.
Yes.
Father God, we look at the conditions outside, Lord. Father, climatic conditions, Lord, even the condition of the world in general.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Father, there's darkness out there, Lord.
Oh,
there's cold,
yes.
There's rain, Lord. Father, there's misery. But oh God, what a blessed thing, Father, to be able to be shut in with you, to be shut in, Lord, in the presence of the Son.
Amen.
Lord God, where all our needs are met, where all
yes,
the fetters are broken.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Father, how we thank you, Lord, to even allow us, Lord, each time we know to come into your presence is a victory.
Amen.
And we thank you for this victory, Lord, that we are
yes,
gathered
Lord.
Here tonight.
Lord.
Father, Lord God, to meet with none else but thee.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Father, what a blessing we have to have
thank
that assurance.
You.
Lord, that you always, Father God, meet your appointments.
Yes, Lord.
Father, and we know that you are with us now, Father.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
So we're praying, dear Lord God, as we hear humbly before you, Father, with the hungering and the thirst in our soul to
yes,
worship you in praise, Lord, to glorify your name. Father God, Lord, just to lift up our hearts in praise, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, Lord God, and we are in anticipation that you speak to us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, Lord, we're desiring not to hear, Lord, from a man. Though we love our brother, but Lord, we ask you
yes.
that, Lord God, you'd grant grace and mercies,
Amen.
Lord, that you'd put him aside so that
yes,
you'd speak
Lord,
to our every need.
Amen.
Lord, you know what's in each and every one of our hearts.
Yes.
You know what we need personally, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
So meet us and speak to us tonight, Father. Lord, let us not go out of here the same way we came.
Please, Lord.
Lord, let us not go out of here worse than what we were when we
yes,
came here.
Yes, Lord.
But Lord, let us go out better. Let us go out lifted up. So we ask you, Lord, that you'll help us in our attitude.
Yes.
Help us, Lord, in our spirit, Lord, in our thoughts toward you.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we look into you now. Be with us in song worship, Lord.
Yes,
thank you for,
Lord,
giving the brothers grace and mercy, giving them strength.
Amen, Lord.
The musicians, the song leaders. Lord, as always, Lord, it's our desire that you'll help them to put themselves
Amen.
Aside.
Amen.
So that you can use them, Lord,
Amen.
For the ministration of God. Please bless them, Father, for what they're doing.
Yes,
Lord, and even we, Father, though at the moment, Lord, we're few in number. But, Lord, so long we have you with us, Lord, we are ready.
Amen.
Lord, we're praying, Father, even for those still on the way. Be
yes,
merciful
Lord
to them.
Jesus.
Give them traveling mercies. Father, we think of Brother Vladimir. He's at work tonight. He cannot
yes,
make
Lord.
It. Be merciful to him. Any others, Lord, Father, some are too far away to travel. Please be with them, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we pray for as well, Brother Max, who's away, Lord.
Grant
undertake
grace,
for him,
Lord.
Bless him where he is, Father.
Yes,
Lord God, be with us now as we commit everything
yes,
into
Lord.
Your hands, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Let's sing that song, Meeting in the End.
Amen.
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 You have heard of the Moses in the Quran.
I should like to meet them. I'd like to thank the saints for their time here.
Amen.
Amen. Give us
Amen.
A journey back to
Amen.
The sister. Greet the saints from us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let's open Ephesians chapter 5, saints. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's read from verse 8 up to verse 11. That's our slides to show this evening.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 up to 11. Paul is saying, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the light.
Amen.
Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord.
Amen.
And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them.
Amen.
You continue on in that chapter, he tells us to prove all things and so forth. So I think it's really good as we speak about this issue of the firewall, the spiritual firewall in this age, that it's very good to prove things in a lot of directions.
Amen.
Just to see whether what we classify as being acceptable or a standard which we should fellowship with, whether it really does pass the standard. If it does, all is well, all is good. If not, that's the whole purpose of coming to church. The prophet says, we come to church, we made better.
Amen.
He says, if we come for any other purpose, we won't get out of coming to church what we came for. So may the Lord help us. So let's read one more. Let's read Revelation chapter 9, the first three verses. Revelation 9, 1 up to 3. It says, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit. And there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and upon them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. It's quite a day to live in. And we realize we've already seen the fulfillment of that. Let's read one more, the book of Isaiah 61. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee.
Amen.
It's by his Father, we thank you for the word. The word is always blessed. Father, we just desire to lay our hearts upon the altar upon this day. And to help us, Lord, with that atmosphere.
Yes, Lord.
That the blessing of
Hallelujah.
Your word may be our
portion.
That, Father, your word may find a dwelling place in us.
Yes.
That your word may be a lamp unto our feet.
Yes, Lord.
May you bless us, Lord, as we fellowship. Bless our sister, she travels tomorrow.
Amen.
Pray for them that aren't here tonight. We'll be dedicating this prayer. Has been praying for them already. We lift them up unto thee.
Yes.
And Brother Max, bless him, Lord.
Yes,
we ask
thank
all
you,
your people. As Father, we look unto you now, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's get considered in Jesus' name. I want to continue on what we started on Sunday about cyber war, the digital warfare. We haven't looked at this for a long, long time, but I thought maybe a Friday evening would be a good opportunity to go through something, maybe down the family line, to do with video games.
Mm.
It's not just so much the games and the content of the games, but maybe just to try to go into the a little bit behind the scenes of what's really happening in this age.
Amen.
I think that's the key. We can put the slides up there just to put our title. So we're looking at cyber war, but we're looking at this digital portal.
Mm-hmm.
You want to see, you know, that the digital world, the digital age, works through the fourth dimension. We know that. That's the dimension of science.
Mm.
Now that's where, I mean, that's the realm that all of the television waves, the radio waves, and there's all these things that are taking place that we aren't able to contact, but there's a realm that science is tapping into more and more and is realizing the power of this realm to communicate and to project, you know, and to influence people. And yeah, the politicians have realized that television, through television and so forth, that this digital realm is really a portal. You know, to the world, they don't understand that, but we do. We understand that the dimensions we're dealing with, that is the kingdom of God, there's heavenly places in Christ Jesus, And then there's the regions of the damned, there's darkness, the realm of Satan. And both of these kingdoms are always seeking for access. Because the whole battle through time is what? It's the battle for expression.
That's right.
The Lord wants to express himself. Satan wants to express himself. So both the Lord and Satan are always trying to find media, you know, some way to express themselves.
Amen.
So Satan's trying to express himself. The Lord is looking for vessels. And uses in our ages, use the tape recorder to capture the message. Now he uses the internet can be used in that realm as well, you know, for him to express himself. And the end result of it all is that we're in the midst of this battle now. You know, there's this darkness on one side and light on the other, and there's deception on this one side, and the Lord is trying to shine truth into the lives of people on the other. And there's this great warfare going on, and we're in the middle. You know, because we're getting influence from both sides. And so many times as parents, many times as brothers and sisters, you wanted to say, but you know, what is the balance on some of these things? You know, knowing that Satan, he's going to be riding his pale horse. So it's not just a single colored horse like in ages gone by. It's not just in charge of politics like he was in the ages gone by, or just in charge of religion, but he's in charge of everything. He's taking control in every aspect. He's getting into religious power, demon power, political power. So he's using everything as he presses in for the final battle, you know, to come to a climax, to build his Eden. Then he's using every channel that he can, every method that he can. We know how much he uses Hollywood.
We'll get on to
that another time. But Hollywood has been a real prime channel of the enemy to bring things to the days of Lot.
To
bring things to the days of Lot, it needed Satan to be able to come through a realm that, you know, opened up just with the last 100 years through the cinema, the prophecies, and then the prophecies. He came in through the cinema, waiting for the television to come in. And then when the television came in, and then he pressed his way. Now the internet's open up, and there's all the pornography and all these kind of things. And you know, this darkness of Satan, this evil, sinister, malicious plan that he has, trying to express himself and press himself into the human beings and get his agenda to be fulfilled in this age. He's been very successful at it. Because you know, when it comes to the end, the whole world worships the beast.
That's right.
Except those whose names are found in the Lamb's book. So Satan is marking people. He's influencing people. You know, he's desensitizing people. He's working in the minds of people. You know, and it's only those, the prophet says, that have got the seal of God that are going to make it through this age. Only those that have the firewall.
That's right.
Now, because this gross darkness has come. We read Revelation 9, where the bottomless pit was opened and it comes as great darkness, as a great smoke upon the nations of the earth. Now, we know that first went into the political realm and got into Hitler and the revival of the Roman Empire through Hitler. You know, and then he came and persecuted the Jews and the prophets. Now that darkness has gone into the church realm, the ecclesiastical realm, bringing the churches together. But friend, that darkness expresses itself in so many ways. If you went into music, we could look at the same thing. This darkness from the fourth dimension. How there's another dimension in the music now.
Hallelujah.
Since the 60s, when the seal was opened up, at the same time, this dimension of hell opens up as well. It's like hell pours itself forth onto the earth. Just as much as the full revelation of Jesus Christ comes forth from the other dimension. So these portals have been opened on both sides. And the Lord is unveiling himself because he wants to be glorified in his people. And on the other side, there's this portal of darkness. No, that hasn't been since the days of Noah. As it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot. You know, there's got to be something come in our age to raise things up into another dimension. And we see that. We see the dimension of time that we're living in and how these things are really pressing themselves in. We're living in the time of a great revival of darkness. Now the prophet speaks of it in the church ages to say during, you know, Wesley's day, it was like there was light seemed to be gaining ground, you know, the missionary age and all that. But the prophet says the darkness just went back and waited for the final press where it was going to take over everything at the end. And friends, we're living in that time.
Hallelujah.
In that time now that this fourth dimension, this dimension of science, Satan has so tapped into this fourth dimension and is using it so effectively in a manifold way, any way he can express himself. Through music, entertainment, Hollywood, through politics, through religion. Every one of these aspects, darkness has encroached.
That's right.
And we see it in our age, just in our generation, how quickly things are changing. So do you think if we get on to looking at entertainment, like video games and that, we're not going to find that, we're going to find serious fingerprints of Satan.
That's right. Like
that.
That's right.
No, because if you're going to look in the music system, music, you're going to see that. Like I said, 40, 60 years ago, what was number one on the charts? How much is that doggy in the window?
Yes, sir.
That was number one in the music charts. You go and see now the dimension that's opened up. And you see how these fallen stars there now, you know, like Rihanna and Madonna and all of them, you know, they...
That's right.
There's such an evil is pressed into them.
That's right.
And the conduct and how they push the boundaries, they're called change agents.
That's right.
Now they press the boundaries, go beyond the boundaries, and shock people a little bit at first. And then society gets used to it and accepts that as the new norm. And now Satan has these vessels and he uses them so effectively. You know, so I think in any realm that we as believers dwell in this world, we've got to make sure we have an effective firewall. We've got to make sure the blood is fresh on the door. And the enemy comes in different ways. We never thought 30 years ago that you could watch TV on your phone. Mm. Who ever thought that?
Mm.
Who ever thought that you could just get on your phone pornography in 3 seconds time?
Right.
No, who ever thought you could play such powerful games on your phone?
Yeah.
Mm. No, before you'd have to go into the arcade.
That's right.
Mm. Now, when we were young, and you'd have to go, and me and Brother Dave and Brother George, and we'd go and look for old Coke bottles and go and get deposits.
20 cents.
20 cents and stick them in the machine. And you'd play Dig Dug and all those games. But you didn't realize at that time how far things would go. My friend Satan, you know what he's doing? Satan in the realm of science, he has a vision. He has a purpose. He has a desire.
That's right.
And he's trying to press science. And the more that science is advancing, Satan's more able to fully express his design.
That's right.
That's right. He's living in the days of Satan's.
Yes, sir.
As we see the consoles coming now. And now we come and we'll see it at the end into the realm of virtual reality.
Yes.
We find out that Satan is in new dimensions in science. And this gross darkness follows straight away. Whenever a new dimension opens up, the darkness encroaches in that dimension.
Right.
And it starts to influence people in a deeper way. Because Satan is advancing these things so that he can control and influence. He wants to perfect his Eden. This is Satan's Eden that we're living in. He's the God of this evil age. All those messages the prophet preached was speaking of these things that I'm speaking of now. And he calls those messages the plagues messages. You're speaking of when the plagues come upon the earth. You know, that's where we're living in. And at a time like this, we want to make sure we have an effective firewall.
Amen.
We want to make sure, like when he says, arise and shine, gross darkness on the people. That's Egypt again. But you arise and shine for your light. So now we're living in a time of gross darkness, but great light.
Amen.
But darkness wants to encroach. It wants to come in and take as much opportunity as it can, as much opportunity as we give it. So we need to be very careful about that. So the prophet says in the message, God doesn't call a man to judge him. Let's just remember this.
Hallelujah.
This is what I quoted the other day, but I thought, let me read it because it's very important what he said. That's what the prophet's looking at. He ain't looking what's going on here. He's looking yonder.
Yeah,
he's saying, it's coming. He can go so high till he can see that shade, that darkness. And he says, the world will be darkness and gross darkness.
Yeah, man.
So it's the will be. The prophet could see it.
Yeah,
and I'm going to just try to build it up and show how he saw it. He's up high enough. The sun's shining now. But he sees that shade coming. And he's saying what he's looking at. That's why the message, friends, was so far ahead of time with the prophet Christ.
Yes.
Because he was saying what he was looking at. When he came and spoke about the three seats, Oral Roberts, you know, Billy Graham turned 99 this week, did we say? Oral Roberts, Billy Graham, and the Word going forth. The prophet saw things in seed form.
Amen.
We now saw the next generation come. Benny Hill, Kenneth Hagin, all of them taking on the prosperity gospel and the Rhema and all that sort of stuff, which they took it on. And now it's come even further. It's come to Benny Hinn. It's come to, it's getting more and more into these big super churches. Now the prophet saw it just in seed form. He saw it in Oral Roberts. And he could just speak about one man, and that man was representing all of the things that we see.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and if you just take that seed, because the prophet saw what it was going to end up being. But he spoke about it in his terms in that age.
Hallelujah.
Oral Roberts, Billy Graham, and the Word. You know, that's how he saw all of these things. He saw them in seed form. And the same in what we're speaking about tonight. So he says, it ain't here yet, but it'll sure be here. That's right. It's going to be here.
Amen.
Gross darkness upon the people. He knows it's coming years away. Yet he sees it. It's a serious one, and the prophet speaks about that. Now listen to how he says this one in just one more time. You fathers, you mothers, are you ready to establish an altar in your house? And take that television out. That's the first one that he saw. You could go a whole line on television like that there, how the prophet saw what television was going to be there. He says, are you ready to take that deck of cards? Now, to anybody wants to sell it, go and see where the deck of cards came from.
Amen.
Yes, sir. That's
and right. No Christian will ever have a deck of cards in their house.
That's right.
Yeah, if you trace back, the prophet will just make a statement like that. But you go and dig into that room. Research back. The prophet can see things far more than you can see.
That's right. Amen.
He says, are you ready to take that deck of cards off the table? Then comic books.
Wow.
Then comic books that your children's reading, preparing their little mind for a blast that the devil's going to give them.
My.
So the prophet could see in his age the comic books, what they were going to become. He saw these aren't just the pictures on the page.
No.
But he could see this gross darkness. He could see that this is an expression of something. That there's a motive, there's an objective behind this.
Amen!
Now, we know there's two realms that inspiration comes from.
Right?
Now, there's light and there's darkness. There's no other realm of inspiration.
Amen!
That's right.
So
that's right.
Anything that we take, if we take a songbook, we can trace those songs back to which realm they came from.
Amen.
By looking at who wrote it.
Yeah.
What spirit were they in? What was their world view?
Yes.
What was the spirit that governed that person?
Because
you will know a tree by its fruits.
That's right.
So you can trace it back. So if you take those comic books, I'm going to show some of them.
Hey,
do you want to see the 1950s and 60s comic books? These are from the 50s and the 60s. Superman. The prophet says, them comic books that you're letting your children read. What did he say it's doing? It's preparing their minds. It's conditioning them. It's desensitizing them.
That's right.
It's opening something up that you may not see it when they're young, but down the way, the devil's going to use that influence. Satan's laid a foundation. He's laid a platform. You've given him access. He's coming. Your children have fellowship. They commune with these things. And you don't realize the seed that's been sown, the influence that's been made. Exactly on the other side, the prophet speaks about Bartimaeus. I was speaking about it when I was at family camp in Czech. About Bartimaeus, the prophet always speaks of his mother. How she'd call him when he was playing out when he was a young boy, playing in the fields. And how she'd call him and say, Bartimaeus, come in, it's time for your nap. And he would come and his mother would take him in her arms and put him on her lap. And would start now to speak to him in a Bartimaeus, you're such a sweet little boy. And create an atmosphere. Then would start to tell him the Bible stories. Now, she didn't realize, but she was laying a foundation that he was going to need down the way.
Amen.
She was now laying the groundwork And Jesus passing by the
Son Hallelujah.
In his age
Amen.
Was going to pass by and was going to build upon that foundation
Amen.
And kept that work off. Now his eyes were going to be open, but it needed his parents to set the right groundwork, the right
Amen.
Foundation in the days of his youth.
Amen.
So Satan, if you're going to allow Satan to get in on this, friends, you're going to find problems down the road.
That's right.
Or if we're going to just allow the influence of the Word to come in here, we're going to find we're laying a foundation that Jesus is going to be able to build upon down the way. That's how the prophet says, these comic books, look at them. Where does this come
yes.
from?
Amen.
Right.
Yeah,
yes.
Now we're going to see, this is the seed of the current video games that we have.
That's right.
This was technology in that day. When the prophet was preaching, that gross darkness seeking a way to express itself and had to use the technology that was there.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Wow.
They didn't have PCs. They didn't have mobile phones.
Mm.
They didn't have the digital dimension that's opened up.
Mm.
But they had the printed page.
Yes, sir.
And that darkness in seeking the best it could do with the technology of that day said, okay, I'm going to express myself as much as I can in this so I can influence them until the next thing comes along. And when I influence them here, it's going to prepare them to more easily get into the next one. That's what the prophet said, preparing their minds for the blast of the devil. But the devil's going to give to them later on. Now, the amazing Spider-Man. Yeah? Friends, things don't change. The only thing now, the graphics are more realistic.
Yeah.
It's not what it is. But the spirit behind it.
Yes.
Right.
You know, the agenda behind these things.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Somebody wants to say, but they're just comic books. Okay. I'll just ask you a very simple question. There's only two sources of inspiration.
Right.
Is there anything of God's inspiration
no.
in here?
Nothing.
No.
Did God have anything to do with these comic books?
Not at all.
No.
So would you feel comfortable allowing your children to read this comic book? That's a big question. I definitely
Amen.
Wouldn't.
Mm, yes.
I wouldn't. There's nothing of God.
Amen.
Amen.
This isn't just neutral, this one. There's other things you can find which make it more neutral.
Mm.
No, there's other things which maybe you can look and say, okay, well, this maybe isn't directly of God, but it's not contrary. Now, there's no darkness in this.
Mm.
But the prophet says, then comic books.
Mm.
Now look at it. It's friends, you wouldn't really want those kind of things sitting in your children's bedroom when they're 6 or 7 years old. These are the ones from the prophet's day. Ghost Rider. Flash, yes, flash again. Invasion of the cloud creatures. Can you say, where is this coming from? Why can't a man write a nice story about a family, adventure story, getting in a wagon, traveling the other side of the mountains, you know, going against the battles, going through the raging river, you know, the Indians are coming against him, and he's fighting them off. Why? I mean, just a wholesome story. Why does it have to be the invasion of the cloud creatures? What dimension is this man tapping into to get this type of inspiration from? It's not normal.
That's right.
Look at the clouds.
Mm.
Look at these clouds.
Mm.
Yeah, and our children, when they're young, they get scared by these things.
Yes.
Mm.
But when we keep giving it to them, after a while, they're not scared of these things anymore. That's how the enemy works.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yeah, and that's what we'll see in all of these things with the fourth dimension. Now, Satan's trying to influence one stage at a time. At the end, we know what it's coming to. It's coming to the days of Lot.
Right.
It's coming to the days of Noah. Where the thoughts of men's hearts are continually evil. Where's the influence? How can the world get so corrupt until the whole fountain of humanity, the source of humanity, is so polluted at the end of the world, says I have to wipe it off like in the days of Noah. Something's got to come and pollute it at a young age and get down right into the fabric before even thoughts are made and agendas are made in the minds of children. then something's going to come and influence them towards evil in some way. And then just become, you know, renegade against the things of God down the way. But there's something which is coming from when they're young. Now look at this here. Okay, we looked at Spider-Man, Superman, Batman, spiders, bats. You know? This is what the prophet says about. He says, and make you know it. All the old things, all the things of the earth are a type of the heaven.
Yeah.
Even to spiders and lizards and snakes and so forth.
Yes, sir.
Are only types, a natural type, of evil spirits reflecting back. That's why sometimes when people call our children some insects, and I used to always say to them, I don't want these insects in the house. They don't even these plastic like bugs. And I would always say, I said, the prophet said spiders and those things are a natural type of demons. That's why a spider will spin a web.
Yes, sir.
It'll catch something in the web. It'll kill it straight away. It'll use its venom, paralyze it, inject its eggs into that living creature. And you say, why did God allow that? God's trying to show us something there.
Amen.
When he says, go to the ant, consider the ant, he says, you also consider
the
spider.
Yeah, that's right.
The spider speaking of something, it's speaking of an evil. That's a natural type. So these things are spiders and lizards and snakes and bats and all these kind of things, friends. Forgive me, but I've never been comfortable with those things in my life.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Scorpions and all this. Jesus, I give you power over scorpions.
Yeah. And that's right.
Snakes. Generation of vipers.
Yeah, you know, it's like these are, God put those things as a representation of darkness. So we can understand what's happening in the dimension of darkness by looking at the way these things behave. There's another quote, I didn't put it there, but the prophet says, haven't you noticed all these things only come out at night?
Yes.
Right.
All these evil things, the scorpions and the spiders and that, they don't come out in the day. They come out when it's dark. And they come and they do their work. And friends, it shows that it's works of darkness.
That's right. That's right.
Amen.
And that's why for a man to get an inspiration to make a superhero called Batman. Spider-Man. Why Spider-Man? Why? Are you telling me that came from God? That inspiration?
Amen.
That's why you find the prophets there, the blue beetle. And the Beatles.
That's right.
And the prophet calls it the beatniks and all this kind of things. You find they all came at the same time. The Blue Beetle, Batman, Batwoman teams up with Batman and Robin to battle the menace of the Fireflies. What? I used to read these things before. I was
That's right.
That's true.
And I enjoyed it because there was a darkness in me.
That's right.
I couldn't realize, but what am I reading?
That's right.
What am I fellowshipping? When I try to read Ephesians 5. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful deeds of darkness.
That's right. Amen.
Reprove them.
Amen.
Right. Show that this is really dark. This is really, really dark. I just borrowed this picture from the brothers from the Philippines once again. Because, you know, we're in the middle, the realm of mortal beings.
Yes, sir.
And here's the dimension, the fifth dimension. Here's hell. Here's the darkness now. This is the regions of the damned. The regions of demonic forces and powers. And Satan's seat is down there. And those dimensions, those realms down there of darkness. And then above us now is the regions of the blessed. The angelic host, you know, Christ. And they get into the sixth dimension. There's the souls under the altar and so forth. And in between there, now we have our dimensions that the prophet speaks of. And there's the dimension of science. And in order for Satan to bring about Satan's Eden, to bring the climax at the end of his, he had to open up the fourth dimension. And the fourth dimension wasn't opened up by people in the presence of God. If you go back, remember, like we saw on Sunday, it was Cain when he went
Hallelujah.
Out of the presence of God.
That's right. Mm.
Then he started now to get into the real deep science.
Amen. Mm.
They discovered how to use metals. They discovered how to build cities, the musical instruments, all of these things. So you find that the vast majority of science is absolute darkness.
Hmm.
Why? Because it's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's what science is.
Right.
Yeah. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So even if there's something good on it, watch out.
Mm.
Like the prophet says, the automobile kills more people in a year than wars do.
Right.
You know, it's something good we have to use. We need grace to use it, but there's always good and evil in it.
Yes, sir.
So any realm that comes from science, any realm that comes from technology,
Amen.
Any realm that comes from the discoveries of man, unless those people, like the prophet speaks about the salt vaccine and those people are real Christian people, and penicillin and those kind of things, when God really inspired people to help the sick,
right.
God really inspired certain people to get into a certain realm, to discover something which was fruitful. But the vast majority, that's why Paul calls it science so-called. Because it's science means knowledge.
That's right.
The vast majority of what comes from this tree, friends, be very careful.
Mm.
That's how Paul says, prove all things.
Yeah.
And make sure there's the firewall of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
But that's why this gross darkness has encroached from here. And the prophet saw it, right? Now the prophet in Saul's in prison, he's speaking about when he went down to the regions of the lost.
Mm.
He went down into that realm.
Mm.
And he says, far be it from any person entering that regions of the lost. If you were standing with hot wires bored through you, tormented in every way, it will be nothing like that devil torment that's down in that place.
My.
The human mind cannot comprehend what's in the regions of the lost. And then he speaks about the regions of the blessed, how the Lord took him. And he says, there's no way to explain that.
Amen.
But we're living in an age now, and the prophet says, there's no way for us to really understand what's in this realm. But both of these realms have opened now to press in the revelation of that realm to us. Because we need it.
Amen.
So Satan is trying the best that he can, this region of torment, this region of darkness of his, he's opened that up and he's poured it forth now upon the face of the earth.
Yeah. Amen.
And that's how you'll see people, girls walk around with pink hair,
yeah.
Blue hair, and people pierce themselves in those strange places in their bodies.
Mm.
And the strange thing about it is the majority of the world thinks it's normal.
That's
right. Yeah.
Right. It's a gross darkness upon
Amen.
People.
Right.
It's a gross darkness. The prophet said it's a spirit that's pressing down on people.
Amen.
Many of them good people, and they say, brother, I don't want to do this.
Mm.
But it's this darkness that's pressing them down.
Oh.
But friends, darkness, it can't do much unless it has a portal.
Yes.
That's right.
It has to have a medium. It has
Amen.
To have some way that you
Amen.
Bring it into your life. You commune with it in some way.
Yeah.
You know, darkness, the prophet says the spirit is helpless unless it has a vessel.
Mm.
What can darkness do to you? It can just, you know, come and try to oppress you a little bit and try to get you down, but you know, as long as your human will is there to say, I refuse to allow
Amen.
Darkness in, it can do absolutely nothing to
you. That's right.
So it's got to try to find some way to enter in.
Mm.
It's got to find some vessel, some medium, some way that you open up, you unexpectedly open up and you allow that thing to come in, and it's not going to come in. Just like when the serpent came to Eve, it's not going to come in a way to show what it really is.
No.
Mm.
It's going to come and show the good side of the tree first. There's going to be candy coating. So if you're going to get into the computer games that have a lot of occult in them, then a lot of them when you start up, they're going to have real nice colors.
Mm.
And really nice, nice characters. Zelda. Legend of Zelda. And Zelda's so pretty, she's a princess.
Mm.
And here's the hero, and he's dressed, and he's going to go and save the princess of Zelda.
And how does he save her?
He uses magic spells. Mm. He uses potions. Mm. He consults his crystal ball.
All the works of darkness.
That's right. Witchcraft.
Witchcraft. But yeah, you see how clever he is, Satan.
The prophet says there's no way to explain it. You can't explain how bad that darkness is. But friends, you and I can see it more and more.
Amen.
Manifest in this thing.
That's right.
You can see it. Where is this going to end up? You know, so the prophet saw that. So, let's read a scripture before we get on some slides about the games themselves, just the different types of games. The perfect firewall is the
Bible. Yes. Amen. Amen.
There's no more pure and perfect firewall than God's
direct
word.
Amen.
Yeah. And then God gave us the message of the hour to come and shine light upon those portions of the scripture, like Isaiah 60 in Shalom, which are important for us.
Amen.
You know, so friends, we're doubly blessed.
Amen.
Not only do we have God's pure, perfect firewall to keep darkness out, but to have a message to come and focus on those parts of the word that we need the most in this age. So Deuteronomy chapter 18, if you just read what God said to Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 18. I know all the young people are looking and saying, which way is he going to go here? They're reserving their amens, saying, we don't want to amen too premature. Friends, I'm not trying to tell anybody to stop playing computer games. That's not my aim.
Amen.
You'll see it as we go.
Preach it, brother.
I say that every computer game is bad, because it's not. Not every computer game is bad. We'll see that. But we need a discernment.
Amen.
We need to be careful in this realm. And each of us, we need... Jesus, John said, you have no need that any man should teach you.
That's right.
But the anointing that you have received, it shall lead you into all truth.
That's right.
You know, so you will know. But some of these things you will say, yeah, look, I was a bit duped. I've been playing Grand Theft Auto. And which Christian's going to play a game where you have to go steal cars? I was saying that to our children earlier, I said, the most amazing thing, even on these games, these apps, the little games on the iPad, the iPhone, you never have a game where you're the policeman. There's Smashy Road. In Smashy Road, you've got to smash as many cars as you can, and the more cars you smash, the more police cars come after you. And the longer you survive, the bigger the cars become. It's not just a police car, it's now a police 4x4. Then it's a police helicopter. Then it's a police tank that comes shooting at you. But there's no option in that game for you to play as the policeman to catch the bad guy. You have to play as the bad guy running away from the policeman. Why? There's just something in the souls of people.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
And that leads you on to Grand Theft Auto, where you get into all manner of immorality and stuff, which you don't want to even speak about. And it's hugely popular. But it shouldn't be among believers. Because the whole emphasis, the whole spirit behind the whole, if you look to say, what agenda is being portrayed here in this game? Now, I don't think anybody would have conviction enough as a believer to say, I can, like I said last week, I can pray and ask the Lord to bless me while I pray in this game. Because you can't.
That's right.
Because it's the deeds of darkness. Deuteronomy 18, verse 9. This is what the Lord says to Israel in the Exodus, first Exodus. And the days when they've been crossed. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations.
Yes, sir.
So the Lord's going to say there's certain things to him that's an abomination. An abomination literally means something which is disgusting. Either morally. Yeah, so something which morally in the eyes of God, it's disgusting to him. Or secondly, abomination means something which is an abhorrence. Something which God abhors, which he hates. Especially idolatry. God hates idolatry. Not because God says, I want to just be the only one. That's not his attitude. But God knows what idolatry does to you.
That's right.
God knows what a deception idolatry is to the children of this earth. How Satan blinds you from the only thing that can give you life. The only thing worthy of worship. The only thing that's perfect. The only thing can really satisfy your soul. And instead, you're worshiping something else. Which was created, which was made.
You know, some idolatry is it's foolishness, but that's what
right.
An abomination is. An abomination also is an abominable custom. So certain customs God saw among those nations, the way they would do things, it was an abomination to him. And he told the children of God in that age, don't do according to what these nations are doing.
Amen.
Don't allow your influence to come from what you see happening around you. And this was their firewall. Their prophet came and gave them a firewall. And he said in verse 10, there shall not be found among you anyone that makes his son or daughter to pass through the fire. That was a ritual. Demonic, yes.
Amen.
Or that uses divination. Now what is divination? Divination is, I'll read you the definition, a school of magic. Divination is a school of magic that allows the user to tell the future, to see the unseen, to sense the presence of the undead, or to identify magical items and so forth. Divination magic doesn't provide much in the area of offensive spells. Nor does it provide a lot of defensive powers. It does, however, provide a very powerful resource in the form of information. That's what they say. A diviner has access to many rituals which allow him to either tell the future, use a crystal ball to scry on a remote location, or to reveal the properties of magical items.
Wow.
Through an identify spell. Now we're in the video game, big time. Now we're in the video game. Casting spells. To identify certain things. Communing with spirits. That's divination.
That's right.
But the Lord said, when you go and understand, these things are an abomination to me. Don't you do what those nations are doing. You have nothing to do with divination.
Amen.
I said it to our children while they were sitting in the house, and I said, guys, let's say a witch move next door. And she really seemed so nice, and she came and said, hey guys, over the fence, she said to the children, would you like to come and play with me for an hour in my house? I said, would you go? I said, of course not. I said, so why on a computer when you play a game with this witch? Why not a game with this kind of witch? You're playing with a witch in that game. What's the difference? One's in a digital world, but you're playing with a witch. One's in the real world. God says, don't play with witches.
Amen.
Don't play with wizards.
Right.
He says it here. He says, one that uses divination or an observer of times. Telling the future by the stars.
Yes.
Tarot cards, horoscopes, fortune tellers. That's all that kind of stuff.
That's right.
Or an enchanter. An enchanter is a magician or a sorcerer. One who can cast spells or bewitches other people. Like a witch doctor. Now the young people, they know them from the game.
See.
Whenever you see a character and his hand goes and it comes on light from his hand and and goes and zaps that other character, yeah? And you've got to go and search through the game and you've got to find crystals, crystal balls. And you've got to find things that increase your power. And then if you get enough power, you can cast certain types of spells upon people. Or certain kinds of defense. You know, I don't know. But to me, that's exactly what the Bible says.
Amen.
It says, or an enchanter or a witch. Verse 11. Or a charmer. Magic charms. Friends, let's get into it. Charms, amulets. Things you've got to collect and it gives you special powers and abilities over spiritual forces and so forth. Or a charmer. Or a charmer is literally one who puts a spell upon someone to change things by the use of magic. Or the chanting of a magical verse or formula.
It's also an object, a piece of jewelry, a charm used for magical purposes. Or what about a consulter with familiar spirits? The witch of Endor.
That's right.
Yeah. People who commune with the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah. Mm. Yes, sir.
The guy that is dead. And Luke needs some help, he just speaks to Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Mm.
Can you see? It's exactly, where is the inspiration?
Mm.
Where did this come from? You know, it's being expressed sometimes in a way friendly and harmless and so forth. But what is actually being done here?
Amen.
What does God really think about this? God says these things are an abomination to me.
Amen.
He says an enchanter and so forth. A necromancer.
Oh.
I have a picture I didn't put up, I didn't want to scare the children what a necromancer is. But a necromancer is one that uses magical abilities around manipulating the dead, or death, or the death force in various ways. Users can either communicate with the dead, either by summoning their spirits as an apparition, or raising them bodily for the purpose of divination, imparting a means to foretell future events or to discover hidden knowledge.
Yes.
Now, friend, what does a believer do when he wants to know the future? You get on your knees and you pray.
Yeah. Right.
What does a believer do when you need hidden knowledge? You don't know what to do. You get on your knees and you pray.
Amen.
And you open up the word.
That's right.
And God has his way of imparting divine knowledge to people.
Amen.
Verse 12. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Now the moment someone with a spirit of divination, witchcraft, would come into the prophet's meetings, he'd pick it up straight away. Because those people would see the power of God in manifestation in the prophet's meeting, and they would think they were like the prophet. The mind readers and the fortune tellers and the wisdom. You don't read all the times in the message the prophet speaks of it. Straight away the prophet would feel that. That darkness coming from somewhere. And he'd call it out straight away. As soon as it came into the presence of the sons and daughters of God, it was a foreign force. It was a different kind of a spirit that had made an entrance. And the prophet would immediately discern it.
Yeah,
that's the spirit of divination. That's the spirit of fortune. Now, with this background, just to show, what is Satan's agenda? What does he want to do? He wants to build his kingdom. He wants to establish his Eden. He wants to establish his way of things. You know, so like I'm saying, he doesn't only use computer games. He uses music, films, and Hollywood is rife with this.
That's right.
He uses every avenue that he can, where he can find a yielded vessel, someone that's willing to yield, that he can come and influence and anoint and inspire in any realm that he can. He's trying to afford, this is his agenda. He wants people involved in these things because he now has access to them because they're fellowshipping with darkness. If you put the slides, please. So if you have a look at games now, that's what I want to say, you have to keep a balance, because if you look at the best-selling video games here for 2016, there's a lot of different categories in here. So obviously it's different types of games. The most popular one is shooting games. Now a lot of those, I'm sure, I believe, will never need to do them. And these are all those ones out there that you can really, really shed a lot of blood. The second one is action games. 22% is action. It depends on what type of action game that is. Because a lot of these action games have got the occult in them as well. Some of them maybe are just harmless platform games where somebody's jumping and collecting this and that and, you know, trying to get from one level to another. But when we get onto these kinds of games, this is the real problem. Role-playing games.
Yes.
The role-playing games.
This is now Satan's realm. This is absolutely where he has brought forth his powers. You get sports games. Well, if you want to play basketball, you want to play baseball, you want to play football, whatever, you get all the sports games. You get adventure games. Well, you better be careful on those. Fighting games, strategy games, racing games. If you want to do, you know, race your racing car, race Gran Turismo, whatever it is, you know, racing on the track. I mean, hey, that's up to you if you want to do those kind of things. But in all of these things, we need to make sure we're using the filter. And the most prominent area is this one of role-playing games. And that's what I just wanted to focus on a little bit, because these ones here are not by far. So in the games industry, I find it all interesting, because the Prophet always says science and the spiritual go hand in hand. The first computer-based video game was in 1962. So this portal to video games opened in 1962. They were before that graphic, like text-based games. Mm. But video games, as we know them, started in 1962. Mm. And then we get on to the ones that we know. 1978 came Space Invaders. That's interesting, Space Invaders. Yeah. You know, what is it, Space Invaders? Yeah. And if you look at the picture on the side here, look at how it was. Can you see the picture?
That's right.
I just really found that strange. Why would a person put a picture like that? Now listen what the prophet says. And the message is the absolute. When he says, he was lying on his bed. He says, next morning when I woke up, I was laying there. And I said, I better get up and take the children to school. And I looked over and there was this hideous looking thing. This demon came to me. It looked like Ali Oop in the funny paper. It's just been overwritten. It's Ali Oop. Now you go and read that quote. The prophet says, in that realm, when that demon power came to me, the form that it took, what he could see it as, was like Ali Oop. Who was a very popular comic character in the days of the prophet. So which way did this work? Did this demon take on a form like Adam? Or did this demon inspire someone to make a character that looked like him?
Amen.
So that's the way that it was.
Yes, sir.
That in the spiritual realm, the way that these demons can manifest and the form they can take, the prophet actually says that's the way that Satan appeared when he came when Sharon Rose was dying. In that kind of a form of, it wasn't exactly the same like the cartoon character. But one thing that it shows is that these people who make these cartoons, they're getting an inspiration from somewhere.
Right.
And I put this picture down there, you might not be able to see it too clearly, but it's a hooded demon with two red eyes. And the reason I put that is because if you ever listen to the testimony of Brother Tony Reagan,
yes, sir.
And he tells him just at the time when he was about to come into the message, the Lord spoke to him in an audible voice and said, there's still many things I'm going to reveal to you. And he says, and that night or early the next morning, he woke up and he felt this evil presence in his bedroom. And he opened his eyes and he saw a figure like this, standing at the foot of his bed, a cloaked figure with these eyes, glowing eyes. And this was a demon. And it said, he said it was a physical form he saw. He said, and it said to him, I've come to take your life. And he says, I went backwards in my bed, right up against the wall, trying to get as far away as I could from this demon power. He says, and then it was quickened to me, but the Lord told me, no, he still has many things to show me.
Amen.
So I said to that demon, I said, you are a liar. The Lord has told me, still has many things to show me. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. And that spirit left. And then he says he went to the dentist a few months later. And he was sitting in the dentist's chair, in the dentist, the waiting room. And there was a television up there, and there were children's cartoons.
Yes,
and he saw exactly the representation of that demon that he had seen in the children's cartoon. And that's when he said, you don't realize the inspiration where these things are coming from. Who would ever make a cartoon like that? You have a hooded creature with eyes. Imagine that thing in your bedroom. You'd be so scared. The
be so scared. But the prophet says that these things is a representation of these things in that spiritual realm. Then he continues on in this quote. I don't have it on there, but he says, people talk about devils and don't even know what they are sometimes. Mm-hmm. But you run headlong into them every day, maybe. But you will, he says, notice. And this demon was accusing me, saying, you have no power with God. You're just a bluff. You have no power. And I said, Satan, you're an offense to me. Get out of my way in the name of Jesus Christ. And he left. And I laid there a little bit in the bed, started to raise up, and I felt a real sweet feeling come over me. And I thought, I wonder if the Holy Spirit now is close. And over in the corner, so help me, there is my Bible over my heart. The sweetest voice I ever heard in my life said, don't fear to go anywhere.
Hallelujah.
And don't fear to do anything, for the never-failing presence of Jesus Christ is with you wherever you go.
Amen.
And friend, that's a comfort to a believer.
Amen.
And friends, that's what you want in the life.
Amen.
To in this age. That he'll be with us, even in us, right to him.
Amen.
Then came Pac-Man. You know Pac-Man. Mm. Inspired by a man who saw his pizza and a piece of the pizza was taken out of it and he used that as the inspiration. But look at this one now. By the time you get to 1987, the realm starts to open up. Mm. And now we get the Legend of Zelda. And to those who knew computer games, I was big into them when I was in the world. This was a real popular game. The Legend of Zelda. Here's Zelda, like I said, look at her. She's the princess that needs to be rescued. But what is she? She's an elf. Mm. Where do elves and dwarves and these things come from? It's occult.
Mm. Right.
It comes from the ancient pagan religions, heathen religions. Mm. There's nothing of these things in the Bible.
Amen.
Or in history. It's all pagan philosophy and religion that people spend a lot of time in. But look at what it says about this one. They released a new version called A Link Between Worlds.
My.
That's the title of the Legend of Zelda part, whatever that it was. And it's filled with witches, gods, fortune tellers, sages, cults, dark sorceries, fairies, magic, and more. But when you see your child playing it on their tablet, that's just like a blocky graphics sort of a game. You won't realize what's going on in that game. You don't realize that people are using sorcery to get magic powers. They're using potions now to increase their strength. Now they're using all manner of things like that to build themselves up so they can get from one level to another. Now, if you look at The Legend of Zelda and all the different games, there's always this eye.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. The Eye of Horus. Yeah.
Right.
Look on his. I think his name is. What is his name? Link, whatever the guy's name is. He's the main character. He goes to rescue him. But look. Even if you look at the old ones on the Nintendo, look.
That's right.
It's full of occult these things, friends. Now, I know that sometimes Christians can exaggerate it. I try not to. I try to be balanced. But honestly, these games are full of occult.
That's the truth.
Absolutely full of occult. And would you be comfortable allowing your 6-7-year-old child to play with those kinds of
things?
Should we not, like the prophet says, until they become of age to receive the Holy Ghost, you have to be the Holy Ghost to them.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Until they can receive the spirit of truth, the spirit of discernment, to know for themselves that I don't like this game. I can't put my finger on it, but there's something not right about this game. Mm. Until that happens,
amen.
Friends, we need the blood
of
the Lord.
That's right.
We can't just let our children play anything. I've seen parents in the message allow their children to watch anything. Never monitor what they're watching. Play any type of game. Read any kind of a thing. You're setting them up for the blast of the devil, like the prophet said. Don't ever do that.
Amen.
There's got to be a firewall. Around your children, there's got to be a firewall around the house. And if your children aren't old enough yet to know that firewall, you have to be the firewall to
it.
You have to block and keep that which is profane and dark and abominations of the nations round and about. Keep it out. And those things which can pass through the filter, allow them to come in. But friends, we need to be continually vigilant.
Amen.
Because the boundaries are changing.
That's
The dimensions are moving on. Science is progressing on. The prophet says, you Pentecostal people used to say it was wrong to go to the cinema.
Mm.
Yeah? He says, then the Satan pulled one over and brought the cinema into your house.
Amen.
You see, they got caught with the next generation of technology.
Mm.
And they were proud that we don't go to the cinema. It's not the cinema itself that's evil, it's what they show in the cinema.
That's right.
So if you have a television set in your house showing that same Hollywood nonsense that was being shown in the cinema, what difference does it make? Or if you're watching on your tablet, watching on your phone, watching on your computer, it doesn't matter the medium that Satan's using now. It's the content and the spirit behind
it
that needs a filter. Now, in these games, the saddest thing about it, I won't take much longer, I'll just skip through some slides, but the saddest thing about these games, right, is it's all a fake.
Yeah, that is.
People spend hundreds and thousands of hours building up a character, which isn't real. You have an avatar, and you give it a name, you call yourself Elfstone the Magnificent. Or you call yourself Little Princess the Beautiful. Such a nice name, yeah? And then you start now spending all your time in a digital world that's not real, building up a digital character that's not real, building up digital abilities that aren't real.
Mine.
I showed our children something the other day, a little clip, somebody said it was very good. The man was speaking something in China, the American guy speaker was an interpreter, and he was speaking to a Korean church, and he was saying, you people who play video games, he says, in that video game, you're such a hero, you battle with the gods. He says, but when you come out of that video game, you can't even do three press-ups. You can't even do real life do three press-ups. He said, that if there was a real sword lady, you probably wouldn't have the strength to pick up the sword.
Right.
You see what we're doing?
Mm.
We're building up a character. This is the digital portal that's been opened to us, and Satan brings people into it. And friends, people build up these characters over time. And the things they have to do and the commitment they have to put in to build up these abilities here. To go through so that you have one of the things, your strength, your agility, your intelligence, your stamina, your morale. You've got to get all these different things in your backpack, so much of which is occultic stuff.
Mm.
Magic mirrors and different types of crystals and crystal balls and spells and potions. And you're spending so much time in that.
Mm-hmm.
Yet what is the whole purpose of this life? There's only one thing you take with you out of this life. Which is your character.
Amen.
Amen.
And Satan's duped you into building up an artificial character. And then something goes wrong and you delete the game and you delete your character or you lose your account or the person stops making the game. And all of those years and thousands of hours of effort, it's for nothing.
Mm.
Is that not a sad thing?
Amen.
And all of these things are but an impersonation
of
a believer.
Mm.
Friends, we fight with demons.
That's right.
And we overcome them in Jesus'
name. Amen.
Right. We lay hands on sick people.
Amen.
And God heals
them
in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And these people are aspiring to be people who can go deliver the princess who's in bondage. And God sends you out on the streets in Kano and goes and delivers the souls of people that are
glorious.
What should we be focusing on as
right?
Mm.
What should we be focusing on? This is but an imitation.
Mm.
Samson was the real superhero.
Amen.
Moses was the real superhero.
Amen.
Moses could call plagues down from heaven.
Amen.
Open a Red Sea. Samson, he could kill 1,000 Philistines on the jawbone.
Mm.
And that was real. That's real life.
Amen.
That's what God can really do in the life of a person. But a person will go and spend so much time in darkness.
Wow.
Yeah, and the sad thing about this, people in these role-playing adventures as well, they meet up in these online role-playing games.
Mm.
And they meet up with all these other people who have fake names as well.
Yes.
And a fake picture of who they're not. Even such a big fat guy can't even get out of his chair. Like, you look at this avatar, he's a knight in shining armor, you know, with his teeth are shining and he's got blonde hair. And this person, you're playing in this realm and you almost fall in love with this guy called Alfred the Magnificent, whatever that is name. You can't even communicate with people. And you're communicating with this guy and you've got such a friendship. That's a fake friendship.
Amen.
I like friendships like that. I want a real flesh and
blood. Amen.
In trouble, you can come and put your arm around me.
That's right. Hallelujah. Amen.
We're praying for you. That's right.
Amen.
Those are the relationships I want to build.
That's right.
I'm going to spend my life building a fake relationship like this. With people, and some of them are just in there to try to groom young children.
That's right.
They're trying to find access now because of this sexual perversion, all that kind of stuff. You read about it all the time, this delusion in these online worlds. This is the real thing you
do. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
The sketch of a perfect man.
Amen.
That's the only thing we're taking out of this
That's
life.
That's right. Amen.
Is the character of Christ.
Amen.
Which comes through facing up to this real life.
That's right.
The real life challenges on a real life daily basis.
Amen.
Getting down on your real life knees and offering a real life prayer.
Amen.
And seeking a real life God.
Hallelujah.
And establishing a relationship with Him and with real life
That's
sons
right.
and daughters of God.
Amen.
And that's what we're going to take with us.
Amen.
Amen.
But friends, this fourth dimension is a deceiving dimension. Not only is it full of the occult, but it's just a complete waste of time. Absolute waste of time.
That's right.
Complete. Is there no way you could go and spend your time on it? Then playing as a wizard or a witch or a necromancer or some fairy or an elf or a princess or slaying dragons in some mythical world in the days of Arthur. Ah, friends, is there no way that we can better do and spend our time than that? And the Bible says redeeming the time.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. We shouldn't be doing these things. But look at this here. This guy's built up his, he's given himself a name, Silax. With three X's. Silax. And his gender is a male. His origin, he comes from some whatever. His axiom, you can either be atheistic, druidic, which is a pagan priest, virtuous, nefarious, which is a crook, or agnostic. And you want to go and determine yourself as one. Where is Christian? Where's the son of God?
Yeah,
where's honest? Where's virtuous in the right kind of a way? And then you choose your class. You're either a fighter, a rogue, a magic user, a healer, or a ranger. Ah, my friend. You're telling me that there's anything up here which comes from God?
No.
You're dealing in the books of darkness in these things. That's what I said. There's other categories of games. If you want to go and bounce a ball in the NBA, if you want to hit a baseball, if you want to play, you know, FIFA or 17, whatever it is now, that's okay. I mean, do what you want. The Holy Ghost allows you. I'm not trying to stop people doing it. If you want to play some puzzle to spend a little bit of time, you want to relax, it's up to you. But friend, don't go past the firewall.
Amen.
Amen.
Don't allow things in that God says, don't fellowship with these things. And the problem is they're almost everywhere now. In the most unlikely of places, you're going to find these things if you go looking hard enough. Because that's how Satan works. So 1993, as we come closer to our day, to the end, Mortal Kombat. This is now when you get into the violence and the bloodshed and the desensitization of children. They've seen so much blood and guts and death and sorrow on the TV news, in video games. They say that people who play these violent video games, they say your body is made in a way, if you and I die really in life, and there's a life and death situation, and adrenaline, yeah? Fight and flight response. That your body energizes itself, that everything goes into focus, but it's not good to keep adrenaline in your system. That's why your system tries to wash it out as soon as it can. Because it's something that God just puts there for an emergency. But when you're playing these kind of games, Call of Duty and all that, and all the time, you're in this digital world. And your life is under threat. There's the same reaction in your body.
Mm.
Friends, you start to get desensitized.
Yes.
Mm.
Now your body starts to get overworked in those kind of realms. As certain portions of your brain, the frontal lobe and those things, now they start to get desensitized because they've been used, overused.
Mm.
Because of a will that's not even you. And God knew what he was doing, friends. 1994, we start getting to the real Occult now. Warcraft. Now it's open. This is how it started. Lord of the Rings. Full of the elves and the dwarves and the wizards and that. That was the inspiration of Dungeons and Dragons. Before computers came on this. And then Dungeons and Dragons was the big inspiration for every one of these just about role-playing games.
Mm.
And the multi-online ones, where you can join and play with millions of other people. But they all came from the same source, which is filtered through the occult, coming down into the way that these games are played. 1999, we get deeper in, Sony brings up EverQuest to the people in that. Absolute witchcraft. Now, 2008, the World of Warcraft, the biggest online game. 13 million current active users playing in an online world. This is the original login screen for World of Warcraft. My friend, don't put that on my computer at night. I expect my computer to stay in my room. It's out the window in 2 seconds if I wake up and you show me that. Look at this. There's a serpent up here.
My.
Look at these demons like Johnny Reagan was saying.
That's right.
And he has your portal. They invite you into this portal. And you go and get your credit card and you put your credit card details. You put your name, D. Scott. What, dangerous D? Give yourself some real cryptic password that no one ever guessed it. In you go now through this portal. And look how nice it looks up there. But, look at this. The original login screen for World of Warcraft, if you think it looks a little occult, its subsequent login screens are much darker. That one's not too bad. My friend. I'll just read what they say, one thing here about World of Warcraft. This is what they say. The key point about World of Warcraft is that it's not simply a game. It's an alternative world. It's a recreation of life. It has built its reality in as much depth and detail as possible. World of Warcraft functions as an alternative to the real world. And it's one of the most involving games yet designed. Can you see, Satan, when the technology comes in now, the internet comes in. The processors on the PCs, the graphics cards get better. He can now push his vision deeper. He can now find greater expression through science, so-called, than he could before. Before it was just in comic books and novels and black and white films. But now the technology is there. This darkness can find an expression more realistically. And you got paid to go and fellowship with it.
Right.
Oh, my. And friends, he hasn't stopped yet.
That's right.
So you'll think, okay, at least if you play Minecraft. Minecraft, you're just building like Lego, you're just building blocks. But you'll find why do they put creepers in Minecraft? Why are there zombies that chase after you in Minecraft when the sun goes down? Why can't they just make a simple game like Lego where you can build things? Can you not see? It's like Satan cannot just leave something.
That's right.
That's right.
And what about the realm called, called Nether? You go through a certain portal from Uberworld in Minecraft down into Underworld called Nether, the realm of Nether. Let me tell you a little bit about the realm of Nether.
Right.
Nether was called hell for a while. And it's true, I researched this.
Wow.
They say they changed the name not to offend religious people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It is complete with lakes of fire.
Mm-hmm.
Netherrack, which is the source, it's a type of material, the source of infinite fire.
Mm-hmm.
Soul sand, you can get it from there, which is sand with souls trapped inside.
Mm-hmm.
Ghasts,
mm-hmm.
which are souls which are sent to hell.
Mm-hmm.
And fire monsters, which are demons.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this resembles hell closely.
Yeah,
they believe hell.
My friend, why? But our children get in there and say, Daddy, I want to play Minecraft, I want to build things.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day you go and see these monsters coming at after your children and not Minecraft. That's what you're sorry, Daddy, you have to go turn off the mods. And strange, the mods never seem to stay turned off when you're not watching. And then there's these realms like this. It's like, why? Why does it have to be like that? Because, friends, we're living in a dark age. We're living in an age we need to be watchful and vigilant.
Amen.
Because our enemy goeth around like a roaring lion seeking to devour. Therefore, we need to be steadfast in the faith. Now, where does it go to next?
Mm.
But now, the big games. Now, I went and I had it in the car, I didn't bring it out the car, but I went and brought it to Tesco this week, PC Gamer magazine, to go and see the latest games. If you just want to get a shock as a parent, buy PC Gamer magazine. Literally, 85% of that magazine is pure occult, pure Satan. All the new games, apart from a few, the football games and those kind of. But most of it is darkness. It's demonology being expressed in games. That's what it is. And you play as the demon, you don't play as the person fighting the demon. But the next realm, which this is the big one, is the realm of virtual reality. Can you see Satan's moved technology further now? Not only are you going to sit on a screen and play, or on a 27-inch monitor and play it, but now you're going to be able to get into that world. You're going to be able to immerse yourself in these worlds. And look at the big game, which they say in the magazine is going to be the big game for this year. Resident Evil 7. Biohazard. Now, friends, when you go and see what Resident Evil is about, you'll understand the prophet said something about the regions of the lost. He said, being in the regions of the lost, it was like being in a nightmare that you cannot wake up from. Can you see what the regions of the lost is? It's like you're in this nightmare where there's these demons and hormones. You have to just listen to souls that are in prison once again. When he speaks about the atmosphere down there in the regions of the lost where there's no God. And there's just devil torment. That's the word that he uses down there. Now, if you take that and you portray it as a game, you're getting into Resident Evil. So it's like you're taking a nightmare and you're making a nightmare into a game. And not only do people want to sit and play, now they want to put on a headset and get fully into the nightmare.
Right.
Look what it says. It says, this horror franchise is always a favorite among players. But the most recent version had a special appeal for PlayStation 4 owners. The entire title could be played in virtual reality through the PlayStation VR headset. Now, let me finish off with this quote to show where this is leading this world to. And knoweth it not, the prophet says, he's speaking about menopause in women, the diet and all those things, yeah? The food. Now watch the spirit following it. There'll come a time in the name of the Lord,
yes, sir,
that people will go completely
insane.
The Bible says so. They'll scream and holler great hideous things in their imaginary mind. Where's it coming from? The radios and things. Our television programs are producing it. So this insanity is because people are fellowshipping with that realm of insanity.
My
That's
mind.
Right.
this realm of nightmare that's been released in our age, this gross darkness, and it's coming in the forms, it's coming in these Israelim, and the things, because the prophet is opening it up to our age.
Mm.
It's coming in the games, it's coming in now to the virtual reality, and we immerse ourselves in these things. Listen to what he says. There will be such a thing as ants raised up on the earth that will be as high as 14 trees.
Mm.
There will be a bird will fly across the earth with wings 4 or 5 miles across.
Mm.
And people see them. They'll scream and holler and cry for mercy, but it'll be the plagues.
Mm.
Wait till I preach on those plagues opening up.
Mm.
But where does it come from? It's not real.
That's right.
It's imaginary.
Right.
That darkness, that remember the prophet in J.C. Penney's store, 1963?
Yes. Mm. Amen.
40 years before, he was in the regions of the lost, and he saw things there.
That's right.
Now, 40 years later, he's on earth.
Mm.
He's waiting for his wife. And he sees coming up the escalator the very things he saw in the regions of the lost.
That's right.
That dimension had opened up, and now he saw it in flesh in his age, and he thought we had the end.
Mm-hmm.
Friend, that's the day that we're living in.
Mm.
But the way, the media, the diverse ways that Satan has of expressing these things now, of influencing the human race now, is so far advanced from the prophet's day.
Hmm.
This tree of the knowledge of good and evil, science and technology, Satan is pushing it as hard as he can because it's bringing him to the place where he can come to full expression in the kingdom of the East.
Amen.
And people, in their imaginary mind, friends, the news, the radio, the television, the magazines, these video games like this. The prophet says, it sets them up for the plagues.
That's
right.
The plagues will be upon them. Now what's our closing scripture? Come out from among them.
Amen.
Lest you be partaker of the plagues.
Amen.
Don't play in these realms.
Mm.
Don't play with these things. You might just say it's just a computer game. Don't ask the Lord about that. Go and ask yourself, this great inspiration that inspired these people to do it, where did this inspiration come from? And then ask yourself, where is it going to lead people to?
Mm-hmm.
Does it mean everybody who plays these games will worship Satan? I'm not saying that.
Mm.
Does it mean every computer game is evil? Of course not. That's not what we're saying. But friend, I think it should be a wake-up call for those special friends. Be careful on these things. Be careful. You don't realize how young the aiming these things are now. And the way in which now this darkness is encroaching in all different ways. And if you're not careful, it overtakes us.
That's right.
And we're playing catch-up. The prophet says an oncoming storm. He says, we see the newspapers and the oncoming storm. When you go home tonight, do me one favor. Don't go to bed till you read Revelation, the 8th chapter. You'll see the oncoming plagues and storms that shall hit the earth. Thunders and lightnings are going to shake the heavens. Woes are going to pass over the nation. Men will rot in their flesh. Diseases will strike them. The doctors know nothing about. But remember, before that took place, there was a sealing set for it. There was a fire. And the death angels and plagues was commissioned by God. Don't come near any of those who has the seal in their forehead. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. No matter how hard the ark rocked, no matter how many times the lightning struck close to it, 10,000 shall fall on your right, 1,000 to your left.
That's right. Amen.
Let's stand.
Amen.
This is God. Just as we have a short word of prayer before we close. I think you can see what I'm trying to say to you. I'm not trying to judge individual games. I'm not trying to judge individual people. But if you and I can just have a deeper revelation of the day that we live in.
Yes, Lord.
When Paul said, in the last days, perilous time shall come. He knew what he said. If we can understand it. The prophet preached the message, the power of blood and the power of the dead.
Mm.
If we can understand
Satan is working full time. He's got his ministers. He's got his operatives. This darkness is working in every realm that he can get access to. He's pushing technology. You know, he's got himself in through Hollywood for almost 100 years now. He's got himself through the radio. He's got himself now through the internet. Let's be careful as believers. That we keep our faith up to date.
Amen.
And that we keep the blood fresh.
Hallelujah.
To make sure there's nothing of that darkness.
Amen.
That will encroach in our lives and our lives.
Please,
to
Lord.
Influence us in any kind of way.
Yes, Lord.
And the greatest thing that you can do is seek for the Spirit of Truth.
Amen.
Because when you hear the Spirit of Truth,
oh,
able
yes.
to
yes.
Jesus had many things to tell you, but you're not able to bear them now. But when he comes, he will lead you to the truth. You need a guide.
Yes, Lord.
You need the inbuilt firewall of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
And friend, that's all the purpose that I said this for. For us to realize as we get closer and closer to the end for ourselves and our families, living in these kind of countries, these kind of places, with all this technology, we need His grace.
Hallelujah.
We need to watch over these things carefully. No, we don't need to just have a knee-jerk reaction to these things, but we need to pray about these things. We need to speak to our wives and our children so they understand these things. And if in any way it's helped this evening, that was my desire.
Amen.
If anybody desires prayer as we close, please raise your hand as we close in the word of prayer. Father, each of us, Lord, even as I was reading these things this week, we see where we fall short.
Amen.
And Father, sometimes we saw where we allowed the enemy to come in without realizing it. Lord. But Father, when we start to dig into these things again, we start to investigate and see how far gone things are.
Amen.
And see how advanced, Lord, things have become. And how Satan so poured himself forth into these things, Lord, that made us just realize more and more how much we need you day by day. Father, to the husbands who are the priests of God, how we need you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
To the mothers, Lord, and the influence they put upon the children, how much they need you to guide them, lead them, Lord, to keep the balance that you desire us as believers to keep.
Amen.
And Father, to our youth, that Father, you help.
Yes, Lord.
If there's any of them that have been caught up in these things, Lord, that they may come back to you.
Grant
it, Jesus.
Amen.
Open
your
Bibles and listen to the message and say,
yes, Lord Jesus.
What would you have me to do about these things?
Help us.
And Father, to our young children, Lord, Father, in this age that they so desire, Lord, to get a hold of their young minds, how we just apply the blood. Lord, just now,
yes,
Lord, apply the token to them in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We pray that you would despite our shortcomings. Our faults and our failings, Lord, that Father, the image of who you are will be so clear to them that Father, all they want is to be like
them.
As we go from this place, watch over us, Lord, and keep us. And Father, Lord, help us to be a light in this age.
Yes.
Help us, Lord, not to fellowship with them these works of darkness, but to reprove them, to shine the light.
Amen.
Because, Lord, you know that night is coming. The morning.
Yes.
Amen.
You help us. Give us troubling verses as you go. Bless your people and touch them upon this day. And we think about the answer.
Amen.
The working Galway
tomorrow.
Yes,
Lord.
Give them
Amen.
Success.
Please.
Bring people
grant
there,
your grace
according to your leadership.
Yes.
Amen.
The saints go to Carlo. Bless them with a special blessing.
Amen.
Pray for Brother Wilmot. Work. Bless him as well.
Amen.
We pray for him.
Yes.
For our sister's birthday tomorrow, Lord, I do pray that you'll bless the birthday.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Father, just watch over us till you give us grace to meet once again in your house, even then that we pray tonight. I pray a special portion of grace upon us. Special worship. As we commit ourselves to you.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Like I said, we have a different service tonight. Let's ask for Joseph, let's sing one song as we dismiss her. If you have one for us, please. And God bless you, saints, until Sunday by the grace of God. And God bless your sister, saints, journey back to Poland.
Amen.
Spirit of Elijah.
what the Spirit says to the church.